I'm Matt.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Hey, I'm John.
This is the Sober Friends Podcast. We're here for the sober curious, the new guy, and the old timer. We're here to talk about the stuff anyone looking to live alcohol-free has to face day to day, and how we overcame those struggles. We speak for no 12-step group, but we do try to remain anonymous. You're not alone. This is the Sober Friends Podcast. Okay, Steve, a little talk around the passion around recovery. And I'm just looking at the calendar of when this drops, because the idea of this is as the odometer starts rolling on your sobriety, am I doing something wrong if I'm not as passionate about sobriety and recovery as I was in my first year, the first month, first 6 months, first year? And I'm just looking at the calendar by the time this is released, I'll be pretty close to a big anniversary.
Yeah. Hey,
we'll actually if we can do this right, I'll actually be podcasting on that night.
Right. That'd be great.
Yep.
It's good to be here, Matt. I think it, for most of us, it's probably unrealistic to think that we're going to be as passionate, you know, on year 10 or year 20 as we were on year 1 or even year 5.
But it does make me feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But, you know, there's a saying in AA, at least, saying, you know, we don't get sober just to sit around in meetings and in church basements, right? We get sober and we do all this work so that we could actually go out and live a life in the world, right? So, So that's part of it, right? Is that what happens is when we get sober, we're given these freedoms now to do things that... many of us were neglecting, many of us weren't doing, and now we can do them, such as stuff with your family.
I mean, yes.
You got to think about what you're doing with your son, right? I mean, all the stuff you're doing with your son. The question is, like, if you were actively drinking, you probably would not allow, you know, probably wouldn't be doing that. You know, you probably would be like, no, you know, stick around, play high school, do this, do that. And you know, you just wouldn't be as willing to do some of those things. So I think some of it is it's to be expected. Now, there are ways to change that if you want to change it. And it's one of the things I do. Like, I actually feel that, right? Now I'm coming up on 14 years, right? So,
woohoo!
So, you know, and I feel that a little bit too, like my programs, I still seem to be doing all the stuff I do, but my program seems to be dragging a little bit. And, so part of that is I've decided that I'm going to try to do a little bit more service work, right? On the district level and stuff like that. And I want to see, like, you know, that's probably, I want to see, like, am I going to be resentful that I have to do that, or am I going to be energized by it? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm going to try to do a little bit more of that this year and see how that goes.
I don't know if I've ever felt energized by service work. It's something extra I'm doing. What I find is that I am more capable than I thought. Like, oh, I don't have the time for this. No, I'm able to make this work. I think there's a sense of satisfaction that I have doing the service work, that I'm doing something I'm supposed to be doing. But for me, I have this conversation with my son, Owen, all the time. Like, the most exciting part of his day is going to the gym. I tell him, to me, that's like saying I get excited about brushing my teeth or taking a shower. It's something that I do. And if it's something like service work, it's neither to get excited nor not to. It's just something to do.
For me, you know what it is for me? It's that I like meeting new people, right? So, and I like to, especially like in sobriety, right? When I meet new people, I get some new vibes from these people. So, for instance, one of the things, and we've talked about this a little bit, is that I went on retreat last weekend, and it was the biggest retreat of the retreats I've ever gone on. It was 38 guys. And I would say maybe almost half of the guys, either I didn't know at all, or I knew very little, or I knew very, you know, casually, put it that way. So it's really cool for me to get out with some of those guys and get talking to them and hear their stories and hang out with them and share some time with them. And that's what I'm hoping will happen to me, like for my service work, right? Because, you know, I do the GSR stuff, which is a meeting. It's all local people. It changes a little bit. The GSR has certainly changed, but not a lot. And I'm wondering, okay, if I take it up a notch, then I'll see more people on a wider level. And maybe, you know, maybe be energized by some of that. Maybe some of the stuff. And again, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be it for me. I do like service work. I've always liked service work in other areas of my life. So we'll see if this will energize me or not.
Here's what's really great about service work, in my opinion. The people who are doing the service work a lot of times are the people who have really good recovery that I'd want to role model. Right. Not all of them. There's some people who are just cranks. But I think of guys like Dave B. or Glenn W. Yeah. Glenn W. was on this show very early on. Like Glenn just, much like a lot of these guys, rotated from position to position to position to position. He's always in service. It's a different service position.
Right.
Dave has been like that. That he's chaired the district level, and then he's done stuff at the area level, and then he's come back and chaired a committee. And these are people who are involved and are good network people.
Yeah.
I kind of look at it that way of, you know, if that's what somebody like a Dave B is doing, I should do the same thing. I will tell you, I'd much rather do service on a local level. Now I need a break from that extra level. Because that small portion of the cranky and loud people,
yeah.
who have fixed ideas,
right?
The people who say people just don't own smartphones, I can't deal with.
Right,
I struggle with that.
Absolutely, and that is something that's going to be there. Now the thing for me is when I get in those situations, again, it just gives me an opportunity to go, this is something I need to work on, right? You know, it's the old saying that when I ask my higher power for patience, he doesn't give me patience. He puts somebody in front of me that allows me to practice my patience, right? And that's a great thing in life when you really think about that, right? If I have any type of struggle or character defects, we call them character defects, if I have that, and then all of a sudden somebody is in front of me or somebody's in a meeting with me or somebody's somewhere and they're pushing my buttons and pulling out that stuff, it's a great place for me to work on some of that kind of stuff. So, again, some of that, I get what you're saying because, you watch it and those things. And we have good participation right now at our district meeting. We have really, really good, we regularly get like 50 people at that meeting. So it's really nice. So that's one of the things we can do, right? The other things we can do is we talked a little bit about it before is in our line of work, you could sponsor somebody, right? And I've talked about it. I've been lucky enough to sponsor a bunch of different people, take them through the steps. And I've been lucky enough to sponsor two guys at one time. And I've always said, like, that was the time that my program felt like it was on fire the most. Like, here I was taking these guys through these steps, which meant I was doing a lot of work, which meant I was reading, the literature. We were talking about the literature. We were talking about what it meant. They were sharing me. I was sharing with them. And I just felt like, wow, this is what it feels like. I haven't had that in a long time. And I don't have a desire for that now. Not that I'm not willing to help anyone. I am willing to help whoever might need my help. And that's part of me not feeling, I'm feeling a little bit, off a little bit, if you will. But I'm just not seeking out those experiences, We've been getting some new guys at our Friday night meeting where the guys are. And there was a guy, and I've talked to this guy plenty of times. I've talked to him plenty of times. And he came in a few weeks ago, and he had, I'm not sure, he wasn't even in the program that long, but he had slipped again. And he had been talking about, looking for a sponsor. I need a sponsor. And I didn't even approach him first of all, I would never approach him and say, hey, I want to be your sponsor. But sometimes I'll approach him and say, hey, do you know how to go about and look for a sponsor? Sometimes I'll have that type of chat with the guy. And I do that. And then, within the next couple of weeks, he had found the sponsor. And it's really good. It's good that he found the sponsor. Right. And he found a good sponsor. And this gentleman is somebody I know, and he'll do a really good job with them, you know. But like I said, in the past, I might have pursued that a little bit more and sort of put myself in front of them. Again, not trying to lobby for the job, but let him know that I was available if he wanted it, you know.
Helping people, I definitely get something there. I'm thinking about you just saying, I like to meet new people. I don't like to meet new people.
Yeah.
Not that I don't dislike people. I'm afraid of new people. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have an issue I need to work on. And it was something that caused me to drink. But that fear of new people will reject me when they find out who I really am. And that has always been something there. And even it causes me to be reserved with new people. And I think part of that is rejection or getting hurt. That's an issue that I need to work on.
Yeah.
And I will hesitate with new people sometime. And some of it is I just don't know what to say to new people. If I have a rapport, it's easy for me to talk, but I can pause there. I think part of this, when you've been doing it a long time, is like being in a long marriage. If you've been in a 20-year marriage and you have the high highs that you did dating for 6 months, God bless you, because I don't.
Yeah, who does?
It's different once you have three kids.
Right.
And sometimes it's just, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I just need to go to sleep, but I feel a sense of comfort that you're there. I think that's how I feel about recovery now. This helps. There are times that I've always felt this way podcasting. I don't want to go do the task. Once I hit the red light, I'm fine. Definitely love producing this. But it's that, I got to think of its topic, and then I got to talk, and I could, for this 30 minutes, could be doing nothing. Right. It's not even I'm going to do something different. It's just I want an opportunity not to be doing anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's worth thinking about just being in the routine is enough. I definitely need to add another meeting to my repertoire. God knows if I'm going to do it. But I think just having the routine of I'm going to a meeting, or I'm going to call somebody, or I'm going to do this podcast, and it's just what I do when that part of the week rolls around, at a certain point when you've done a bunch of the work, is something you can do. And this is where I often feel I'm just not doing enough. And I'm hard on myself. Like, when is it complacency and when is it, no, this is, it's okay. It's like, when is it complacency and when is it, you're going to strip your gums if you go passionately at your teeth brushing them.
Right. Two things you talked about there. The first one is it's unrealistic for us to think that somehow we're going to reinvent those passionate times of our 20s when we fell in love with our partner, if that's the case, right? And that somehow that's going to carry over 20, 25 years down the road. I think for most people, you're right. That's not the case. And there are some people who bring some of that forward, you know, but for most people, probably not. And I think that's a great analogy towards our recovery, right? When we first get in, especially those of us who are really struggled, right, who really were, and I'm not talking about a bad bottom, you know, physically or financially. I'm just talking about those people. Like when I got here, I was bankrupt emotionally, spiritually, physically somewhat. I was just down, right? I was just down. So, and then once you start feeling better from that, like it's the same thing. It's like that romantic love early on, like, you know, and all of a sudden you start feeling great. Like, oh, this is great. So you're fired up and you're going to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever number of meetings you need, right? And that does cool off just like a relationship. And then you settle into something that's more reasonable, whatever that is for you, whether that's 2 or 3 or 4 meetings. And, you know, so I think that's just normal. One of the things you said is another thing that I've been saying too, is like, I need to pick up some some extra meetings. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be regular meetings, but like I need to get out here and there, right? I need to get out. And I've been thinking I've been thinking about going different places, like going for us, going to the other side of the river, going to West Hartford, going to something like that, going to some meetings that are different than the meetings I want to do around here, because I live close to a recovery club that's about 2.5 miles from my house that always has meetings. So a lot of times I'll just go there for my meeting. But that's the same people, right? It's in the name. Like I'm going to see the same people at that meeting more or less than I see pretty much all the time. And so for me, it's like, yeah, let me see something else. And the other thing I've thought about is like when the weather gets nicer, like when I first got sober, we used to do road trips, right?
Right.
My sponsor would go. We'd get 3 or 4 guys. We'd go drive for 45 minutes, an hour. We went to Waterbury. We stopped. We had dinner, picked up my brother who was in the program. We all went to a meeting with him. Like, those were really, really fun nights. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff I think I need to get back to.
I never think of that. Yeah. And I probably know 5 people that if I picked up the phone and say, this spring, let's do once a month, once every other month.
Right.
Let's get a bunch of us together. Let's go to a meeting and they'll get ice cream afterwards or something
Whatever it is.
And I know there'd be a bunch of people who would want
to
do it.
Yeah. My big thing is let's go to New Haven. We'll grab some New Haven pizza and we'll go to a meeting in that area. Right. Like we'll make a whole time out of it. Right. We'll make something like that. And you're right. I don't think there's any question that it's easy enough to get, you know, a couple, either 2 or 3 extra guys and do that, right? I think that, and that is the kind of stuff that I think, you know, rejuvenates your program, you know, your energy towards your program, and I think you start feeling a little bit better by it. So, again, it takes effort. It's like everything else. It's like using the phone. It's like doing anything else, right? We can talk about it, but it takes effort to do something and make that plan happen.
I haven't done this lately and I'm due for it. One of the things that I have found that has spiced up meetings is sitting in a different spot.
Yeah.
This is small. I'm maybe other people are like me, but I don't think about doing the small things. You had mentioned pick up a meeting, but it doesn't have to be a regular one. Like I feel like if I go out on a Thursday night and I go to a meeting, that has to be the new thing I do every week. And so therefore, I psych myself out.
You're right.
The small steps of I can just go to a meeting and I don't have to make it regular. Maybe I go out on a Thursday or a Wednesday and I just drive around a little bit. I will tell you, meetings that are outside of this area are really interesting because they are different. They're different people.
Right.
And they're run differently than what I'm used to. And I always found that interesting. Wow, this is done differently. Like I am so used to the way the meetings are around Manchester, Connecticut, that if I just go to Avon, it's like, oh, wow, this is really different.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you said that. I sat, it was either the Friday night meeting or the Monday night meeting. They're both in the same place. And I sat on the other side of the tables that we set up. And somebody pointed out to me like, hey, you're sitting on this side today. Like, you never sit on this side. You always sit on the other side, right? And it's like, yeah, I just felt like sitting on this side today. So it's funny that you say that. Sometimes doing that will make a difference. Will make a difference. And here's the other thing is that if you pick up a meeting, and this, again, this, and some of this I'm talking to myself, okay, if anybody's listening to me. Pick up a meeting. I go to a meeting in West Hartford or Avon on a Thursday night. And I'm like, oh, that's a nice meeting. Like, I like to go back there. If I go to that meeting once a month or every once in a while, maybe 1 month I go twice in that month, people will start to get to know me at that meeting.
Yes.
Right? I don't need to go there every week. I mean, obviously, they'd probably like it if I showed up every week. But, you know, if I said, oh, yeah, it's just something I can do, you know. But people start, you know, you'd be a regular, even if it's just once a month or every once in a while, twice in a month, right? If you did it, you know, if you went to that meeting 14 or 15 times a year, you'd be a regular. People would get to know you. You'd get to know them. And again, you'd have this whole different perspective, this whole different outlook. One of the things that I don't know, and I don't know, maybe I got to find it. It's like, I don't know where all the women have gone. And I don't mean that like I'm going to go chase women. That's not what I want. I've always liked to have women's perspective on sobriety and recovery. We used to have that in our Monday night meeting. We don't have it anymore. So I'm just wondering, like, if there's more, you know, if there's more women on that side where you can go to a mixed meeting and get, you know, maybe a third of the meeting women, where so that you could have some woman voices, you know, because again, I've always liked that, and I just don't see a lot of that at the meetings I go to, at least. And I do go to some other meetings too, and it just I don't know what it is, but it seems to be different now.
I imagine that they're out there. When I went to that one Saturday Avon meeting, there were quite a few women at that meeting. Right. It was a pretty full meeting.
Yeah.
So I imagine that they're out there, might have just be changing where people are going, that we're just not crossing over. And I also think that AA meetings are pretty male-dominated.
Yeah, they always have been. But, I mean, there was a time that our Monday night meeting had at least a regular, you know, a regular sampling of women.
Well, 30% women.
Right. There was a time where it was, you know, 25 or 30%, right. And then, you know, it changed. It changed before COVID, and then after COVID, it's changed completely.
COVID's the big disruptor.
Yeah, and we have women who come to that meeting. We had women who were coming to that meeting regularly, and then they just dropped off, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they've dropped off, but they have. And they, some of them will show up once in a while, but they don't show up regularly.
It just may not work for them at that time and that location.
I get it. Yeah.
Or I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but that helps.
But anyway, that's me. That's some of the things that I look for. I look for, because like I said, I do, you know, right now my process is I do two meetings plus this podcast. That's what I've been doing for a while. Once in a while, I'll throw in a Thursday night meeting. But again, when I throw in a Thursday night meeting, typically I'm going to the men's meeting on Thursday night, which again, a lot of guys I know, I like it. Mm-hmm. Little bit of a different flavor, but typically the same format as my Friday night meeting. So, you know, and I do like going there because there's some guys there that I don't get to see regularly. And when I go there, I get to see them. But that's what I end up doing. Like that is a meeting that I go to. Maybe I go to that once a month or once every other month, you know, and just enough that guys know me. And it's nice to say hello to them.
Those Thursday guys do not like my reason for not going there. And you, the listener, may not like it either. It ends at 9:30. It's too freaking late. I don't want to be out that late. I get home, it'll be closer to 10. And then I have trouble winding down.
Yeah.
It just, I do not want, like, we get out Monday at 8:30, and that's about as late as I want to be out.
Yeah, I agree. And I get it. There's a lot of guys. They actually talked about changing that meeting. Not long ago when they started back up after COVID, there was, you know, wasn't going all that. And they actually had a group conscious about changing it and making it starting it earlier so it would be done earlier. But apparently it failed, right? The guys like that. You know, the old timers will tell you, well, the meetings used to start at 8 o'clock and they were all hour and a half and stuff like that, right? Back in the old days. I don't love that time either. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit easier for me. I don't have that responsibility where I need to be up at any time like you do. But I don't love being out at that. Like, that's why that probably wouldn't be a regular meeting for me, but to do it once in a while, it's okay.
I would get burnt with some of my sleep issues and with the ADHD and stuff. It's an hour and a half. And
right.
I understand. I understand all meetings were an hour and a half back in the day. Right. And there used to also be rotary dial telephones and they don't have that anymore. We're in a TikTok society where it's gotta be quick.
All right.
And an hour and a half for me is you know, even with break, it's just too damn long. At a certain point, it's like, okay, I get it. I'm glad to hear all these stories, but about the 15th story, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that works for you, but I think I got it at this point. I don't need to hear anymore. I need to go home. Yeah. I'm burnt. My legs are kicking. I can't do anymore. So that's part of my problem.
No, I
terrible
I agree.
Attitude with that, but it just that.
No, I agree. I don't love hour and a half meetings. I don't. I you know most of them nowadays are an hour. You know, my Friday night meetings an hour and 15 minutes doesn't make a big difference, but there is no break, so it's over in an hour.
That's 15. Better.
Yeah, and it's you know. I get that's some of it. I don't know. Just to keep that enthusiasm going for me is the other thing that happens to me is that when I realize that I start to struggle, right, is that I also realize that it's time for me to do more AA, right? And I always say that when I feel like I don't feel like doing it, that's when it's time for me to do more. And usually that will boost up my interest. And doing it, I'll boost up my enthusiasm for my program. I've been thinking about it a lot. Right? There's a, you know, 2025 is the worldwide convention, right? Up at
I think it's Vancouver. Skip
yeah,
the Detroit one.
Vancouver. Yeah, I've talked about doing that. I've talked about doing it with my wife. Again, that could be one of those things where I think could be a lot of fun. You know, you can do a few things. You can make it into a little vacation thing, plus do some really fun AA stuff. Yes, you know, so I've been thinking about doing that kind of stuff. And then, like I said, doing more locally being my district and then my area, and probably not much more after that. But just trying to see if I could just do a little bit more, offer a little bit more of myself to the program. And hopefully spark myself and doing getting a little bit more enthusiasm back into the program.
I'm totally in my head with a lot of this stuff too, because if there's meetings like Thursday I haven't been to in a while, I figure that I'm going to get the cold shoulder, that I'm going to get a hard time because I haven't been there in a while. There's always that feeling I'm going to be rejected, so I'm not going to go.
Right.
Which it's never the case. If I see somebody come to a meeting I go to I haven't seen in a while, I'm excited that they're there, but for me, it's a different story.
You know, you may get some of that, especially the guys on Thursday night. You may get some of that stuff. You may get some pushback on it, but the truth is everybody will be happy to see you. They may bust your balls a little bit, but they'll be happy to see you. And this is the other thing that, you know, I mean, it's a little bit different. Like, I have issues with being rejected and all, but most of those are from people that I care about, like family, spouse, like that kind of stuff, or work even. People like AA, it's like, no, I really don't give a shit, right? I mean it. It's like, you know, you like me, you like me, you don't like me, you don't like me. I know who I am in that program. I know the guys who I sort of fit in with. Everybody else, I really don't care. If they like me or they want to bust my ass, they can do that.
I'm sensitive sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Mitzi Y. Mitzi said, I missed you guys when we had our week off. Just letting you know, Mitzi Y, as of February 19th, which is my mother's birthday, 39 years sober, living in Seaside, Oregon, home group, a new vision at the Little Yellow House. So I go back and forth with Mitzi all the time on email. Had no idea that Mitzi had 39 years of sobriety.
39 years.
So that's amazing.
Congratulations, Missy, and thank you for listening, and thank you for thinking of us when we're not around. That's always a nice feeling.
Yep. If you've got sobriety dates that you want to tell me and you want to shout out, I will always shout out people who have lengths of sobriety, because it just shows the newcomer that it's possible. Matt at SoberFriendsPod.com. Give us a follow at SoberFriendsPod.com. Well, that's the website. Give us a follow on Instagram at Sober Friends Pod. I put a couple of things up there. I've been experimenting with just funny clips that, you know, I'm usually at, you know, between 200 and 1,000 downloads. And I got a couple there that are 317,000 and 52,000 with some of the nonsense type stuff that I put up there. I'm like, okay, maybe people want a sobriety flare where they can laugh at it.
Right.
I can do that.
Yeah.
If that's what you like, that's what we're going to do. All right. God willing, we'll be back next week.
God willing.
And we will see you then. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
You made it this far into the podcast. That tells me you're a pretty big fan. If you like what we do and you find value in the podcast, consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. Your donation keeps us on the air to help out the new guy and helps us defray some of our costs. If you find value in our podcast, please consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod.